college and they study to their own destruction. They study and they rest the scriptures. They study to disprove this King James Bible. They pick them out.
Yeah.
They pick them out. And odds are, if they called your hand on one, odds are you couldn't answer. But if they ever do, just tell them, I don't believe the Bible lies against itself. A contradiction is simply a lie. Just tell them, I don't believe the Bible lies against itself. I believe the Bible is just the way God wants us to have it. And walk off.
Amen.
Now, I have a book called Problem Text. It's written by Dr. Peter S. Ruckman. It has 452 pages in it. He lists all 400 contradictions and answers every one of them. All 400 apparent contradictions and list every one of them. I read that book approximately 30 years ago. 30 years ago I read that book. And until I read that book, I didn't even have a clue that that issue was going on. Didn't even have a clue. Never been confronted with it. If somebody wanted to debate me on the contradictions, I would get that book and I'd have it right here. I'd have it in my hand and I could take them on.
I don't know what that meant to start with.
There's apparently 400 apparent. That's what they look like contradictions, right. But they're not. Now, I could take that book and I can answer every liar that comes on the scene wants to blast this book. But without that book, I wouldn't even attempt it.
Do you have some of them written down already?
I got some here we'll go through real quick. Now, since we're on the subject, let's look at some of these simple ones. Real simple contradictions. All right, Exodus 24:10 says, and they saw the God of Israel.
Similitude.
Exodus 24:10 says, and they saw the God of Israel.
All right.
John 1:18 says,
no
man has seen God at any time.
Right.
All right, there's an apparent contradiction. Looks like it, don't it? It's an apparent contradiction. This is a real simple one.
Right.
All right, both of them are true. Both of them are true.
It's all similitude.
They didn't see the soul of God. You can't see God's soul. You can't see his soul. They couldn't see his soul. The soul is invisible. They saw the physical reflection of God like you see in a mirror. That's what they saw. They saw the angel of the Lord. Abraham and Isaac saw him. Jacob wrestled with him. So that explains that apparent contradiction. You cannot see the soul. I can't see your soul. You can't see mine. You can't see God's soul. Now, when God appeared in the Old Testament, he appeared as the angel of the Lord. He appeared as an angel of the Lord. As simple as that. And that angel of the Lord was Jesus Christ in angelic form before his incarnation.
When he was the pillar of a cloud and the pillar of fire.
Right. So before we get any deeper, we'll let it go with that. Now that explains that contradiction. Here's another contradiction. Numbers 25:9 says 24,000 died in the plague. 1 Corinthians 10:8 says 3 and 20,000 fell in one day. Now, that looks like a contradiction of what happened back there in the plague. Looks like a contradiction, but it's not. Here's the answer. 23,000 fell in one day. 24,000 was the total number that died during the few days of the plague. But now, people that don't like this book will tell you that's a contradiction. They say that's a lie.
I remember Brother Nathan teaching that one.
That's good. That's good. All right, that's good.
True.
10:8. All right, now, 2 Samuel 24:24. David paid 50 shekels of silver for the threshing floor. 1 Chronicles 21:25, the Bible says he paid 600 shekels of gold. Boy, that looks like a lie, don't it? Which one of them is lying? Neither one of them is lying. Here's the answer. In the first passage, he bought the threshing floor. In the second passage, he bought the farm.
Parcel of land.
He bought the farm in the second passage. So that's what's going on there. No contradictions in the King James Bible. 1 Timothy 6:16 says, God dwells in light. It says he's dwelling in the light. 1 Kings 8:12 says, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. Boy, it looks like a contradiction, don't it? It's not a contradiction. Let's see what the answer is. Both of them are true. God's omnipresent. Remember that. He's everywhere. He dwells everywhere. He's in the outer darkness of outer space. He's in the light of the third heaven out in eternity. No contradiction. You see what they do to try to get you to drop your faith in this book?
Yeah.
You know why they want you to drop your faith in this book? They want you to look to them for the answers. That's what it's all about.
Bondage.
They want you to come to them for the answers. No contradictions in the King James Bible. Exodus 31:17. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Isaiah 40:28 says, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary. So they say he got tired and quit it. He rested from creation because he was tired. One, and then the other part of the other scriptures, Isaiah 40:28 says he don't ever get tired.
Are you saying 40:28?
40:28, Isaiah. That's the answer to Exodus 31:17. Answer. When he stopped creating, he didn't rest because he was tired. He rested from creating.
Right. It's true.
He stopped making things. He stopped making any more. That's right. He rested from creating. God don't get tired.
You're refreshed.
Now, these are real simple ones. There's some of them in there. Man, they're complicated. They're very, very complicated. And those liars, they really have to study and go to the books to even try to prove there's a contradiction. Them things are so complicated. We're looking at simple ones. Acts 1:9. He was taken up out of their sight. Acts 1:9 says, he was taken up out of their sight. Talking about the ascension of Christ. Verse 12 says, they returned from the mount called Olive. All right. Luke 24:50 says, he led them out as far as to Bethany. Verse 51 says, he was carried up into heaven. All right, the liars say, well, the Bible says one time they was on Mount Olive. It says in the other place they were on Bethany. Which one were they on? There's a contradiction. No, it's not a contradiction. Here's why. Bethany is on Mount Olive. Now, you think they would tell you that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they tell you that?
Yeah, you'd think, wouldn't
you? Why wouldn't they tell you something simple like that to try to keep you believing this book? They don't want you to believe this book.
Wow, son of the devil.
They want you to believe them, what they say.
It's also possible that he could be everywhere at the same time. I mean, he did create it up.
Yeah, but when he ascended bodily, he was there, you know. He was there. But
maybe because the Lord wants us to study it.
True.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's study to show thyself.
True. You know, a lot of the best way for you to learn the truth is sit alongside a lie. Mm-hmm. You know, I had so many, a few years after I got saved, I had so many liars hit me and approach me.
Yeah.
And I'd go on visitation at church, and I'd run into so many liars, and it caused me to go to the book. Mm-hmm. I get these books and these readings by these liars, and I say, now, wait a minute. That don't look just right. Let's go. There it is. Set it alongside the truth, and you learn that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You learn it. Bethany's on Mount Olive. Look at Mark 11:1. Bethany is on Mount Olive. Mark 11:1. And you take a new convert, somebody like I was, been saved 3 years, didn't know anything, green as grass, and I read after one of these guys and I say, well, that guy's smart. Boy, I want to be like him. Boy, I can start picking things out that's wrong with this book, and then people will be looking at me. That's what they do. And that's the mindset I started to get until I got straightened out. And that's exactly what they'll do to you. They'll kill your faith in this book. Mark 11:1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, see that? At the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples. Now let me tell you something. Them liars, the ones that cast down this book, they knew that verse. They knew the answer to that counterdiction, but they won't tell you. Apparent counterdiction. Thank you. I think everybody knows what I mean. But now those guys, they knew that verse. They knew the answer to that counterdiction, but they throw that out there to try to get you to doubt that you have the Holy Bible.
Stringing it or not. You know, they
see,
come
why
against...
Why would they do it? Because they're wicked. They're led by satanic forces.
Yeah. Right.
They're not for your best interest when it comes to this book.
They'll cause a lot of people not to study it.
And this stuff's going on in churches this morning. There are people standing up in Sunday school class right now, and they'll correct this book.
Right. Yeah.
And there are students sitting there thinking, boy, he is something. He's sharp. He knows more than God does.
I was up there climbing, that guy teaching the Sunday school. I was there thinking, he ain't got no business teaching Sunday school. He said, ain't that right, preacher? And I said, no, sir, it's not. And boy, you could have dropped a pin in there and heard it. And I said, not only know is it not, I said, I'm going to give you a scripture so you'll know why I know it's not. And I didn't do it in a mean, hateful way, but he should never put me on the spot. Man, don't ask a Bible, you know, I guess, you know, God knows his book.
That's what happens when you put a novice in the pulpit. The Bible has strict instructions that a novice is not, he's not to be a pastor, he's not to be teaching, he's not to do that stuff till he learns the book.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, some of them learn on the cuff, but I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, I wish I could go back and recall over half of what I used to teach and preach.
Yeah.
He said, because I didn't know what I was doing. I messed up, got the pulpit too early. Now, there's a lot of that goes on. But the Lord will straighten out the head if the heart's right.
That's right. You're right.
You got to be careful who you mess up along the way, see.
Workman, and he not be ashamed.
One more and we'll have to quit. 1 Samuel 6:19 says that God smote 50,000 and 70 men. 50,000, that's 70. 50,000 and 70 men. All right. In Josephus' book, The Works of Josephus, I have it at the house. In Josephus' book, Josephus said that he only killed 70 people in that battle. He only killed 70 people. Now, Josephus was an unsaved Jewish historian, and you can take 90% of what he says. It's good stuff. But where he crosses this book, you better watch out.
Mm-hmm.
You better trash Josephus where he messes with the book. God said there was 50,000 and 70 men killed. That's 70,000 men. Josephus said, no, there wasn't but 70 people killed. How do you answer that one? That's easy. Josephus lied. That's the answer to that one. Josephus is a liar. The book's true.
That's right. Let God be true. Every man be a liar.
There you go. Now, some people don't care a bit to lie against the book. Two atheists by the name of Tom Paine and Francis Voltaire were paid thousands of dollars for denying the Word of God.
Mm.
Money. They paid them big money to blast this book. They were atheists, and they took that thing and ran with it, and somebody paid them to do it. Somebody paid them to do it.
They teach classes on them at these colleges, these liberal colleges.
That's what I'm fixing.
But Paine and Voltaire, they just... Yeah. Shove it down them kids' throats.
Yes, sir. And the kids don't know any better because they don't have any Bible guidance.
They don't know any different.
True. Yeah. Scholars. Now, Voltaire and Tom Paine made a fortune blasting this book.
Yeah.
Voltaire and Paine, they made a fortune blasting this book. Today, you got scholars, preachers, and teachers who are doing it for $200 a week or less. $200 a week or less. Look at 2 Corinthians 2:17. 2 Corinthians 2:17. Here's our group right here.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my stand. That'll be your stand. But we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. But you ought to underline that. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. That's our group right here. We're not here to put doubt on this book. We're here to try to increase your faith in this book. That's 2 Corinthians 2:17. We're out of time, so...
Hey, Brother Mike.
Next time, we'll start on the third wonder, and that's the wonder of its age. The wonder of the age of the Bible. We'll do that next month when I come back on deck, and we'll finish this topical before I start in Zechariah.
No, we got our Bible from the Jewish people.
True.
And the Bible said that the Bible didn't profit the Jewish people because it wasn't mixed with faith.
True.
And, you know, when you attack this book, you're attacking faith.
True.
Bible talked about Abraham being strong in faith, staggered not. I mean, he just believed God wholeheartedly. And if it wasn't to God, we had that kind of faith. But faith comes from his book.
Right, yeah.
Romans 10,
10. Hey, if there's one lie in here, the Bible says a little leaven, leaven the whole lump.
Yeah.
If there's one lie in here, throw it in the garbage and go fishing every Sunday morning. You'll get more out of it. All right, you're dismissed.
Yeah. Here's one. Personal. Good stuff, brother. Good job, brother.